Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our epistle lesson from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, one day, one of our neighbors in my former neighborhood, well, they had a carpet cleaning company come out to their house, and so, if people do that, I've done that before, and so they had them out there cleaning their carpets and that kind of thing. Didn't think too much about it. About a week or two later, I came home and I saw that there was a pressure washing company that had been outside their home and had cleaned up the outside of the house. You know, it was one of those areas where I lived that, you know, I never had vinyl siding before, but I found out that, well, mildew likes to grow on that kind of stuff. And so occasionally you got to get that, so I bought a pressure washer for my own house so I could do that. Again, not thinking too much about it. But as I went inside, Donna had seen that too, and she goes, you know what? You know, we saw them cleaning their house there outside and carpet cleaning the inside. I bet they're going to move. I'm like, really? You think so? She's like, yeah, I bet they are. Well, the very next day, for sale sign was out there in the yard. They're moving. How often have you moved in your life? Think about that. How many times have you moved? For Donna and I, coming up here, 8 times since we've been married. Okay? 4 of those times happened in 4 years. Imagine that, moving 4 times in 4 years. We did that. That was going to the seminary and back again. And that was kind of crazy times during that time. But how many numbers of things do you have to do to get your house ready for sale? Well, for Donna and I, we went through all kinds of things. When you own your own home, you got even more, right? So you have all these things to do to get ready to make sure that your house is prepared to sale so you can move. Well, we're going to take a look at moving today by virtue of our epistle lesson for this morning. And Paul brings up the discussion this way. He says, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Now, right off the bat there, Paul starts talking about faith. He goes, we have the same spirit of faith. So, as he says that, he's saying, hey, you Corinthians there, you have faith? Paul says, I have the same faith that you have. In fact, for that matter, we do too. We're no different than the Corinthians or Paul or anybody else there who has faith in Jesus. And again, what is that faith founded on? Well, Paul says it this way. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Again, faith is knowing that God raised Jesus from the dead. And that is what our faith is founded on. And what we believe and what we share. But what does that have to do with moving? Listen again to what Paul said. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Well, that means that one day the same Heavenly Father who raised Jesus from the dead will raise you from the dead. And the same Heavenly Father will bring us into his presence. And where's the Lord? Where's the Father? Well, he's in heaven. You see, that's what we're talking about here, moving from this place to that place, and that place is heaven. We're moving to that place where Jesus said that I'm going ahead of you to prepare a place for you, that one day I will come back and take you to be with me. That's what we're talking about here. And where's the Father's house? Again, it's in heaven. Lots of rooms up there. Cool stuff. But at the same time, though, lots of preparations need to be done. Got to get that house prepared. Now, one thing we need to remember, though, is that this move for us has already been paid for. You think about when you have to move, that's kind of a costly process, okay? You could ask the congregation here about moving me up here. Yes, it's a costly process. Doris is over here going, she paid the bill, right? Okay. So yeah, it happens. We paid for that. But for us to get to heaven, though, what did that cost? It cost you and I nothing. It cost Jesus everything. It is his death on the cross, earning the forgiveness of our sins. and his rising from the grave alive, going to heaven, is what paid for that move, so that it'd be free for you and I. And again, that all happens there by this gift of faith. The Spirit gives us that faith, and again, all the cost and work has been done through Jesus. And that's why Paul continues on when he says in this verse, "For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." That grace there, that's what God's love. Okay? He's the one who paid for all of this, so that more and more and more people might be included then in his family, giving more thanksgiving so that more are there in heaven. But still, we need to be prepared. Prepared for what? Paul continues. "So that we do not lose heart." Now, that's kind of a strange thing to say. If God's paid for all this and that we're going to heaven, how can one lose heart? Well, Paul goes on and gives us several reasons why this might happen. He says it this way, "Though our outer self is wasting away." This light, momentary affliction. The tent that is our earthly home is destroyed. What's he talking about here? Well, before we get to move to heaven, things may not be so great. Think about it this way. You want to sell your house. What do? Get a realtor to come over there and say, "Hey, take a look at my house. What do I have to do to get it ready to sell?" You know, so they might look out there on the outside, and they might look at the shingles on the roof there. They may notice, it's like, "Hey, you know, those shingles there don't match the ones on the rest of the house. Did you have a repair done up there?" Well, if you got two different kinds of shingles up there, they're going to say, "You need to do a whole new roof." Well, that's costly. So then they go inside. They look at the carpet. You're looking at it like, "Well, that carpet looks okay. That stain's not too bad." But the realtor goes, "You need to replace this." And you're thinking, "Well, it's only worn in the places where I walk. It looks good under my bed." "No, you got to get that replaced too." Then they go in the bathroom. You know, and you're thinking, "Well, this is fine. It's been working for me for years." You know, they're like, "You need to update this." And then they go in your kitchen and see the vinyl on the floor. And they're like, "Then, well, you need to replace this." And you're thinking, "Well, I just did." And you start thinking about it 10 years ago. Anyway, so here you are. You got stuff that needs to happen, needs to do. But you're thinking about how comfortable it was, not having to change. But sometimes, though, when your house, you need to get it ready, some things need to change. Some things have happened along the way, over those 10 years and more. You are the earthly tent, after all, what Paul's talking about here. You've got some mileage on those bones of yours. Things hurt. You get sick. So you get an attitude towards God, and you're thinking, it's like, this is not how my life was supposed to turn out. I was expecting something better. And then as we look at our Old Testament lesson, our gospel lesson there, well, sometimes there's divisions, even in your own house. And you're thinking, really, Lord? And then if it's not bad enough, you got Satan working on us too, okay? Trying to divide us between us and God and our relationship with him. Well, he's attacking us there too. And so you wonder, where in the world is God? Why is all this happening to me? I expected peace in my life, not strife. And that's why Paul says, do not lose heart. Why? Well, let's continue on with what Paul is saying here. He says, we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if this tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Our inner self is being renewed. Okay? That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. He does that. He works on our hearts. He strengthens our faith to help us get through. For these things that are happening to us are only momentary after all. Now, while we're going through them, they seem like it's an eternity at the time. but in the prospects of our life and what eternity means, it's just but a blip. You see, those things are momentary. And lots of things that are happening are behind the scenes, being prepared for us, already completed. And that's why Paul says, focus on those things that are eternal. For while our earthly building might be destroyed, we have a building from God, not made from human hands, but rather godly hands. We have an eternal home in heaven. And Paul directs us to remember that is the most important thing to focus on. Because there will be a moving day for us. Yes, while the movers there maybe not be so gentle at the time, I can vouch for that. Look at your possessions there, and you find all kinds of nicks and stuff. Not that you created, but they did on their move. All right, it happens, okay? Outside things, and sometimes we do those things ourselves. But so what? The new home that we're going towards, that we're moving to, is an awesome one, okay? That's why he says it's a weight of glory beyond all comparison. It's beyond our comparison. We can't think of how great it's going to be. If you think it's the most fantastic place, think of it as 10 or 100 times better than that. That's what we've got to look forward to. And that's why when he talks about here, that Jesus' death and resurrection here, they have real meaning for us. Jesus means his death and resurrection mean that you who have faith have a reservation already. The movers are there. We don't know when that day is going to happen, but it will happen, and that we will be gathered unto Jesus. That'll be a great day. Going to be going there, having these bodies that when you wake up in the morning and have aches and pains, you can tell when a weather front comes through. I can guarantee you that. My shoulders. You know, when I heard that as a kid, I thought, that's just nonsense. I'm here to tell you, I can tell you when the front's coming through right here in my shoulder, all right? Some of you got knees that do the same thing. But the point of the matter is that one day we're going to be in bodies that will never feel an ache or a pain ever again. In a place that's going to be awesome. That's why we can talk about the reward for our faith. Receiving that crown of glory handed to you courtesy of the Savior who loves you so very much, who wants you to be with him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.